Thank you. You may be seated. I guess y'all know me now enough that after something like this happens, here we are again. Here we are again today, the morning after an evil we have grown all too familiar with here lately. And as we've just recounted yesterday what happened, seeing that house of worship as the faithful people of God gathered in a community just as we are here this morning. To them, it was just a normal day of worship. Young and old gathered together, as happens here weekly, until I guess what we can only call a white national, an extremist, a terrorist entered in, carrying an assault rifle, three pistols, spouting evil by saying, "All Jews must die. Lord, help us." Then our leader grieves with them by saying, if there was an armed guard inside the temple, they would have been able to stop them. Lord, help us. How would you feel walking into worship here, walking past the greeter and usher, getting your bulletin, and then the armed guard as you walk into the sanctuary? I'll tell you how it feels, because I went to a church once that had armed guards, shoulder-strapped MP5s and a sidearm. It wasn't a good feeling. Granted, this was the type of church that had arena seating and the pulpit down in the middle of the floor. It rotated. It spun around so when the pastor was preaching, he could see everybody. But that's not the point. The point is, how many more kids in schools have to die with armed guards nonetheless? How many more people worshiping God have to die? I'm going to leave that there for us to wrestle with for a bit. But I want to talk about now where people call out to others seeking help. Know what I'm talking about? When you go to the city and you see someone asking for some sort of help, or in the median over here at Stop and Shop. What are some of the responses that we've been groomed to have as a society to offer? Get a job? Don't you have family that will help you? Get out my way. You're probably not really even homeless, are you? My perennial favorite, the good Lord helps those who help themselves. You know, we've lost the ability, it seems, to feel and to show empathy, because we've moved to a type of culture that places our own self above and beyond all others. We either just assume or we don't care about our brothers and sisters in this world. Yet when we do, it only seems to be for a short time, until our hearts become hardened, when we've had enough weeping, until the next tragic thing happens. Whether in a synagogue, a school, a theater, a nightclub, a concert, or a church again. As Christians, overall, we have become overwhelmingly complacent with ourselves as a whole, and I don't believe that's exactly where we need to be. But I got to jump back for a second. I have to say, please don't ever say the good Lord helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. It's not a teaching we have. It's not the good news. It's not the gospel message, namely because that saying it unto itself, it's not social gospel, which is really the only gospel that exists. So if anyone needs to flush that out of your memory, please run out, go do it now. Hallelujah. Okay, no one's running to the bathroom, so y'all must be good. But imagine there's a crowd following you around, wanting to hear you speak and to teach them and quite possibly help a few of them out with some of the problems they might be having, you know, being lame, blind, or dead for that fact. And a whole lot of these folks are your followers, because you're God incarnate in this world, and well, let's face it, Everyone should believe in you and the good news that you bring to all who hear it. And while you're walking down that sidewalk on the way to a town to give a sermon at a large congregation that's invited you there, and while you're talking and discussing some deep social ills with those around you, and while you're working trying to keep your ministry financed, because it's hard keeping all these people without jobs fed and housed daily, and spread God's message. And then from somewhere in the distance, a voice cries out, "Hey, Jesus, the Christ. Hey, I'm blind and it's not my fault." Now, that's not actually the biblical translation. It's "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But how much attention would that really get in our society today? You know, they'd be tagged a religious nut, and Lord knows we don't need any more of those kinds of crazies in our church, because they turn out to be the ones that send pipe bombs in the mail. Anyways, fundamentally, my little updated call to Jesus from the blind man and the biblical call to Jesus include generally some of the same components. A recognition of the divinity of Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, and hey, Jesus, the Christ. And then number two, a plea. Have mercy on me. I'm a blind guy, it's not my fault. What to do, what to do. Do we stop our tightly scheduled journey for this one person who's an outcast of society, who can never give anything back to our calls, who literally has no value whatsoever, crying out randomly for our help? Now, those of y'all that know me and have brought forward ideas or suggestions to me, y'all know what my response is when you offer something, right? What do I say? Sure. Pastor, do you think we can, whatever follows, and sure, I think we can do that. Why not? What do we have to lose, right? If this unnamed fella, because Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus, or as I like to say, Timmy's boy in our language, is not even named, means he is by nature insignificant to the story, just like all those unnamed women in the Bible y'all have talked about with Pastor Romy in Bible study, who bear absolutely no value to our faith traditions, right? Someone who is unnamed can't be anyone important or teach us anything at all about who we are and what we're supposed to do or how we're supposed to think and come to rational decisions as a people of God, is it? Now, focusing solely on the miracle of restoring the son's sight without having to touch him or do anything other than utter some words, there's something even more powerful and certainly more meaningful at work here. Yes, we all know God can heal folks. We all know those miracle stories that circulate online and may have even happened to us at one time or another. And not to downplay the significance of them, but there is way more to hone in on at the end of this story. Anyone want to guess what that is? The formerly blind boy joined them along their route to the city. Now, would you have assumed that this guy would do that? No, typically Jesus heals somebody. He says, go, but don't tell anybody, right? But anyone in the crowd that gathered to see Jesus or those who were following him there locally to hear him preach and teach, think this person could ever amount to anything in the kingdom of God other than a blind beggar? I mean, seriously, would the disciples have even had the slightest idea that this worthless person, which society would have urged us to ignore and cast aside, could be of any value to God's kingdom? I see the real miracle of this story as a person becoming a follower of Christ right then and there. Sure, the restoring of sight might be a little more memorable after all. We call the story Blind Bartimaeus. And that might be how we can more easily identify to the story, because being physically healed from something we know technically shouldn't happen seems to be more profound to us than being a follower of Christ. So to us, this should speak leaps and bounds about who we are and how we are supposed to identify ourselves, because just because we've always had a certain mindset, belief, or conviction, or idea of what society is telling us to do, sometimes we need to be, as that lady voice on my GPS says, recalculating, double-checking our numbers, looking at our lives, looking at our own books and papers that we title, "We Are Followers of Jesus and His Teachings," again. Because God's embrace is so much bigger than anything we can imagine. God's grace is more bountiful than we can imagine, that it would even find someone as lowly, as sad and depressing as the son of Timaeus. Wait a second. If God is able to do that back then, totally taking, you know, the status quo and flipping it upside down like the money changers' tables in the temple, if God could do that back then, what can God do now through us in times like these? If the blind son to Timaeus could be an instrument of God's grace, salvation, and the gospel message by simply going with Jesus down the road, by what means could God use us? After all, we already believe that Christ is our Savior. We believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We believe that God Almighty is our Creator, that we are created in the image of God, that the Lord is our rock, our stronghold, our refuge after the storm, and the great shepherd of us all. How much more can, could, and will God do through us for the upbuilding of the kingdom here and now? Are we going to resist it? We're going to fight it? Or are we going to use our gifts, our talents, prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness for the goodness of mercy right here and now in Port Washington? You know, being a Christian, being a follower of Christ down that road means being there, our presence. And our presence can simply be sitting in silence with the family of a baby in NICU whose time is rapidly ending, and his mom and dad knew from the moment that he was born he would soon leave this world, showing compassion to strangers, someone you don't know and will probably never get to know, and being the love of God for them there in that moment when they feel they're in control of nothing. That's a true story. Being a Christian means we recognize there has to be a change in gun laws, and then pressuring our legislators to do something about it. I'm not raging on the topic for a few days on Facebook. Now, I say that to say this. You won't believe the number of times people have brought up the March for Our Lives that we had here in the last 2 weeks before the shooting yesterday. Once over a meal with a family from the church, once with a Sands Point police officer over a meal at the food truck here in the parking lot for a TV commercial, another with our district superintendent as we sat down for our yearly review, and again yesterday at charge conference. And then late last night, being invited to have a possible part in a vigil on the anniversary of Sandy Hook by the Moms Demand Action. I have a hard time trying to understand where God might be suggesting I go, but I believe this time God's given me a swift kick in the backside. Don't you always say, "God, give me a sign"? And being a Christian means we hold one another accountable in our faith. Lord, we's a broken people. As I remember when I thought the 90s were bad. We stand in need of prayer from Port Washington to Sandy Hook, Las Vegas to Tampa, from D.C. to the rest of the country. We stand in need of prayer because being a Christian means we pray for each other, because we're supposed to love one another. The world is watching us, and our moral compass seems to be broken. Instead of the gospel message, we want the message of ourselves first. So when it comes time for us to gather another 1,000 people from Port Washington together, it won't be here. We've done that already. Port Washington knows where the United Methodist Church stands when it comes to the value of human life as followers of Christ. Our arms are open to embrace all of God's beloveds, but our leadership has to know we grow tired of their inaction. We are ready to hear the voice of the outcast and respond and rise up. So when it comes time for us to gather again as the children of God, it will be with those who rely on us the most. For our kids, for their futures. The church cannot remain silent or simply issue formal statements, decreeing their thoughts and prayers for those who suffer. We, the church, have to be the answer to those who are suffering's prayers. Beloveds, that is what it means to be a church that is ever reforming, because we know that regardless of how good we feel about our faith and our words and our actions, there's always room for improvement. We've been called by God, and once again, I ask you, are you ready to answer the call? Amen. Thanks be to God.